Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of building blocks, we were on page 22, number 2, with Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Let's end the week on those interesting words.
Plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.
In Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, when I look at that, I did a study on those two verses, and verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, who can know it? Heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? The idea of who can know it is like this. Take all the learning and study of man, all the sciences, all the maths, all the inventions, all of everything of man's out-and-out knowledge and ability. And all of that combined together, giving its best effort, will still not be enough to discover the deceitfulness of man's heart and its desperate wickedness. Then he says, I, the Lord, verse 10, Jeremiah 17, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I don't know about you, but that's kind of scary to me, okay? I mean, even in his flesh, when he's on earth, Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him in the midst of them. But he could even perceive the thought of their heart. So we are also told in Proverbs chapter 18, he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is there to help you and work out those sins and the problems of the heart. He's there for you. He's there for me. We see in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Okay. In other words, stick with the word, stick with that commitment. Don't ever quit on it. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of all of our infirmities, but was in all points, understand, in all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I find it interesting, that last phrase, that we may find grace to help in time of need. You know, the idea there is even up to the last moment. Don't quit. Stay faithful. Remain true. Even when it seems like all of it's closing in on you, you just trust him. Just think of that army of the Assyrian army surrounding King Hezekiah. They mocked him, said, hey, I've got 2,000 horses. Give them to you. You've got the men to put on. They knew that in Jerusalem they didn't even have enough men to put on the horses to fight this army of 185,000. What does Hezekiah do? He tells people, don't be afraid. Let's just trust God. They pray, and during the night, without those people in Jerusalem and that 185,000 army surrounding them, they all are dead. All the 185,000 are dead in the morning. God killed them. All the people of Israel had to do, them in Jerusalem, King Hezekiah, is just wait on the Lord and let God do it. And he came through even at the last moment. Now, the idea of coming boldly does not mean you come arrogantly. I told God to do this. God, no, you said in your word, so you need to do this right now. No, that's, anybody prays like that is disrespectful and has no idea of the majesty of the deity, of the omnipotence of God. They are foolishly praying in that manner. That's arrogant. So you don't come to him arrogantly, demandingly, or disrespectfully. It is the idea of bringing everything in your heart to God and asking him to work in you to make everything right. At that point, we confess all known sin to God. Now look, I've had people in my office. They said, I was unfaithful to my husband. I was unfaithful to my wife. But they don't want to tell their spouse because of the response they might have. And you know what I found out? That usually the response is not very good. I mean, they've been betrayed. They have an idea of what Jesus felt because Jesus was betrayed. And yet, we must see that Jesus still loved them. Peter denies him, but Jesus still loves him. And so, when you confess to another and make things right, there may be a consequence. One of the things that are the consequences is rebuilding a trust factor. Because now, you've hurt them so badly, they've got to rebuild that trust. So you pray for them, and you bade this thing with prayer. You confess it to them, ask them to forgive you, and then take it, what you've got to take, but be faithful to God, stay close to God, and let him rebuild the relationship. Okay? Now, there are a lot of people that disagree with me, but they don't disagree with me on spiritual, biblical grounds. They disagree with me on philosophical grounds. Now, the closer they come, they'll say, well, only God can forgive sin, so they don't need to confess it to them. No. If a person has aught against me, and the idea is they have something legitimate against me, I've done something legitimate to them, I need to go to them and make it right. I need to go to them. I was the one wrong. I need to go to them. Now, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, don't miss out. It's not just confessing them, it's forsaking them. Okay? A lot of people say, Lord, forgive me about what I'm going to do, and they go ahead and do it, and they're not sorry they did it. They just ask God to forgive them. Well, that, God doesn't hear that. This tells us that it is not do whatever you want to do that is wrong, and then just say, I'm sorry, and God will forgive. We are to ask God to help us to forsake the sin. Asking God to forgive with no intention of forsaking the sin or making things right is not the confession of which the Bible is referring. Some have committed adultery with the idea of, well, God will forgive me. Look, I've had ladies tell me, well, God will just have to forgive them. They're leaving their husband. And they did not have a biblical reason. No, they'd say, God will just have to forgive me. I said, well, no, God doesn't have to, and he won't. they don't like that, but that's the word of God. He won't until they make it right with that a husband. Now, the word confess means to say the same thing as. In other words, we look at sin, we turn from it. We do not want it in our lives anymore. So we're saying the same thing as God. This is wrong. It shouldn't be in our life. We say, yes, I agree. It shouldn't be in my life. I want to turn from it. That is what confession entails. Asking God to forgive you with no intention to forsake the sin is like asking God to help you sin without a guilty conscience. God is simply not going to do that. So again, confession is a part of our praying life. Now, you know, let me just interject here before I look at the third thing, which is Thanksgiving. I heard a preacher one time in church service say, the word pray means to request. Praying is just talking to God. He says, forget all these things about confession and intercession and all these things. And he says, praying is just simply talking to God. Just praise, confession, thanksgiving, petition. don't go there. Well, the Bible talks about it and uses it about us. And so he just has taken a word, and because the word has a certain definition, he doesn't allow its application. Well, and he does claim to be a fundamentalist, and in many ways I think that he is, but he does go wrong in the area of easy believism. He believes in easy believism, and then in this area of prayer. But many other things, he has a very strong standard in his life. And so I just got to pray that he gets right with God on those things, or his understanding is open to it. But nonetheless, these things are part of prayer. Thanksgiving is a third thing. Thanksgiving, thank God for everything. Your home, your family, your church. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We read earlier in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Your job, the weather, but especially your salvation. Thank Him for answers to prayer. Many times we pray for something and God answers prayer in a big way and we're so happy and excited about it, but we don't turn around to say thank you. We remember the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. Only one turned around to say thank you. That really blessed the Lord's heart. Now, the list would be endless if the list for things for which to thank Him were written out. As the hymn writer says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Oh, He has done so much for us. Okay, then the next thing, number four, is petition. So, we've had here the idea of praise, confession, thanksgiving, and now petition. This is asking God for your needs. You know, in the Lord's Prayer that He taught us, the prayer that He taught us to pray, it's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the model prayer there in Matthew 6. After this matter, pray ye, and you ask for your needs. You say, forgive us, and all that. So those things are in the prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's praise, okay? And so that all these things are in prayer, and that's what God wants us to pray. Now, so this is asking God for your needs when you're in petition. And I just want to give you a partial list of things for which to ask God. Matter of fact, there are things that God instructs us to ask. For example, to know God's will for your life in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, we ought to pray that for ourselves, but we ought to pray and petition for other believers.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you're listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible says.